In this morning's reading, Joshua and the people of Israel are finally able to cross over the Jordan to take possession of the land of Canaan. And this is going to fulfill a promise that God had originally given to Abraham, the patriarch of Israel, many, many, many years earlier. God is faithful. God always keeps his promises. But sometimes we have to wait. Abraham may have lived in Canaan, but it didn't belong to him. This was also true for his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob. The promised land was still hostile territory, and Abraham and his extended family were surrounded by their enemies, and they were too small in number to conquer the land. But despite this, God was at work protecting his people and providing for them. And we live in a now, have it now society. But we need to remember that God's timing is not always instant. It's not always immediate, but this does not mean he has forgotten us, nor does it mean that he doesn't care. God's nature is to be faithful and loving and to keep his promises, and God never denies his nature. God does not change. He's always faithful, always loving. And God is faithful. God always keeps his promises, even when it appears that everything's going wrong. Because it began to look as if God's promises were unraveling. First, Jacob's son Joseph was sold into slavery, and then famine overtook the land. And Joseph's brothers journeyed south to Egypt to find food, only to their shock to find Joseph now in a position of power and able to use his influence to protect his family and ensure that they were provided for. And this was how God kept his people safe, because it was while the Israelites were in Egypt that they multiplied in number and became a people to be reckoned with. So God always keeps his promises, even when it appears that everything is going wrong. And Joseph recognized this. This was what he said to his brothers: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Because our problem is we don't have God's long view. We can only see what is happening in the present, and we too easily get discouraged and disheartened. When our children were little, my husband got down to the last two for quite a senior job in Europe, working for the European Parliament in Strasbourg. And we were excited at the thought of living abroad, only to be desperately disappointed when he didn't get the job. But a few months later, our youngest daughter was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and we faced years of hospital visits to rheumatologists, paediatricians, and physios. And I had three other children, and we had to juggle this new situation with a lot of support from family, friends, and neighbours. And it struck me, actually, silly how it takes you so long to remember these things. We had been so disappointed at the time, because it really seemed like a job that had Joe's name on it. And we were so ready to have this new adventure, and then it was whisked away from us. But we couldn't possibly have managed Sarah's illness in a new country, in another language, with no support networks. God knew all about that when Joe didn't get his dream job, but we didn't. And we'd been disappointed only to discover how much he was actually providing for us at the time. So I just want to say to some of you that you may feel you're in a situation where you feel God has let you down, where you were perhaps expecting something to happen, but now you appear to be heading in the opposite direction. I just want to say, remember that God is good and God is faithful. And this present situation may not be all that it seems. Lizzie and Kate told us last week how the Israelites flourished while they were in Egypt. But of course, they were no longer free. They'd become slaves of Pharaoh. And God had to act to bring his people back to Canaan. And he raised up Moses to lead them out to freedom. But it wasn't a quick fix, and it wasn't easy. And although Moses finally led his people through the Red Sea into the wilderness of Sinai, they faced many arduous miles. And actually, the people of Israel grumbled. They grumbled and they grumbled. God is faithful. God always keeps his promises, even though we don't always appreciate it. Because God had provided miraculous safe passage through the Red Sea. He provided food and water when his people needed it. But they so quickly forgot what God had done for them and how bad life had been when they were slaves in Egypt. And again they tried Moses' patience and God's patience. But ironically, God was never closer to them than when they were in the desert, and his presence never left them, and all the time he was teaching them what it meant to be a holy people. We actually learn far more about God and ourselves when we go through hard times. We may not relish it, but it's when we're tested that we grow the most. In the words of Mother Teresa, I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish that he didn't trust me so much. And we sometimes feel like that, but it's the truth. God doesn't give us anything we cannot handle, as long as we trust in his power and not ours, and stay close to him at all times. God is faithful. He always keeps his promises, but it's his power, not ours, and we need to stay close to him. And Joshua, who features in our reading and who brought the people over the Jordan into the promised land, was traveling with Moses, and he was learning these lessons while he journeyed with God's people through the peninsula of the Sinai. He was put in charge of the troops when they faced enemies. And at this particular point, Moses went up onto the hilltop to pray. And whenever Moses raised his hands in prayer, the Israelites prevailed. But whenever his hands fell, the enemies who were fighting against them began to win. And Moses fortunately had two companions with him. And the Bible says how they held up his hands so that he could continue praying. And Joshua was able to overcome the enemy. But Joshua actually learned through that it wasn't his power that had defeated the enemy, but it was God's power as Moses prayed. And again, some of you may be struggling at the moment with various situations, and you need people to come and support you as you pray. You may not be able to pray. You may just need someone to come and pray for you. I remember vividly how when our son Andy was ill, there were times when we found it very hard to pray, but we knew that people were praying for us and standing next to us at that time, and how valuable your prayers were through his illness and then after his death. The difference that they made to us as individuals and to us as a family. So I don't know what you guys are facing, but some of you may be facing really tough times. And it may be that you need people to come and stand alongside you at this time. So don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Don't be afraid to ask for help, because we all need help. It may not be a dramatic situation, but we all face difficulties in our lives which we can't manage by ourselves. And it may be that some of us here who are in a position of blessing at the moment, it may be our turn to stand alongside somebody who's in a position of weakness. And I guess that's how the community of God's people works best, when those who are in a position of blessing look around and see somebody who's struggling and stand alongside them. And those who are struggling have the strength, because you are being strong when you ask for help. You're not being weak asking for help. You're being strong. And actually, by asking for help, you are enabling people to bless you. Joshua also learned early on the importance of spending time in God's presence. Moses regularly spent time with God, and whenever Moses entered the tent of meeting, the presence of God would descend upon the tent of meeting and descend upon Moses as he spoke with God face to face. And Exodus 33 describes how when Moses went back to the camp, his young assistant Joshua did not leave the tent. Joshua experienced the presence of God when the presence of God fell upon Moses. And although Moses left, Joshua didn't want to leave the tent. He didn't want to leave the presence of God. And it's such an important lesson for us to learn. Time spent with God is worth so much more than time spent anywhere else or doing anything else. But we find it so difficult to make it into a priority for our lives. But it can happen at any time and anywhere. Only the other week, I visited someone for coffee and for a chat, and we ended our time together in prayer. And as we prayed, we both felt the presence of God fill the room, and it was just like a blanket resting on us. It was like a sort of a holy weight. That seems a strange way to describe it, but we could just feel the presence of God in that room. And we could hardly move or break the silence, and nor did we want to. And it was with the greatest reluctance that we finished our time together, because we both had appointments to go to. God is faithful. Oh, beg your pardon. He always keeps his promises, but sometimes sin gets in the way. Unfortunately, not all the Israelites had the same hunger for God's presence, nor the same desire to obey God that Joshua had. And the Israelites had actually had an opportunity to enter the promised land much earlier on. And you can read about it in Numbers 13, when God actually charged Moses with organizing a reconnaissance party to go into the promised land to explore it. And a group of 12 went to represent each of the tribes of Israel. And Joshua was one of the 12. And all the men came back with the same story. They said it is a land flowing with milk and honey, and they produced grapes and pomegranates and figs to show just how fertile and wonderful the country was. And they then went on to describe the inhabitants of the land, how powerful they were, how fortified the cities were. But then some of the men who had gone into the promised land began to spread false rumors. They said that the people were like giants. They were like grass. They felt like grasshoppers in comparison. And they put fear into the Israelites. We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And there were only two people amongst the 12 who urged the Israelites to go forward. And they were Joshua and Caleb. And they said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. And what we've got to remember is this. Joshua had seen God give them safe passage through the Red Sea. Joshua had seen God give the Israelites everything that they needed. Joshua had seen God give them victory over their enemies. Joshua had spent hours soaking in God's presence. And Joshua knew that it was about God's power to deliver and not theirs. God is faithful. God always keeps his promises. Look at God rather than at the problems. You see, Joshua and Caleb were looking at God rather than at the difficulties they might face. And they urged the Israelites to take hold of God's promises and go into the promised land. I don't know about you, but I regularly have moments when I feel like a grasshopper and my problems look like giants. It's not actually wrong to feel like a grasshopper. But what's wrong is to forget that we have a God who loves us and who is far, far bigger than anything we might be facing. And also we have a God who wants to help us through. While the majority opinion is not always the right one, it's better to be in a minority following God than in a majority who's resisting him. And unfortunately, the Israelites chose to believe the majority and they refused to trust God. And they brought God's punishment upon themselves. And they'd actually complained. They said it would be better for us to die in the desert rather than enter the promised land. And God condemned them to spend an extra 40 years wandering in the Sinai. And of the generation who were actually liberated from Egypt, only Joshua and Caleb would actually enter Canaan. And the rest of that generation would reap the consequences of their repeated rebellion against God. So we now fast forward 40 years to get to today's reading in Joshua 3, and the time has come for God's people to enter the promised land. And I just want to finish with a few truths. God is faithful. He always keeps his promises, but we need to remember just how much he loves us. God made the Israelites' entry into Canaan just as dramatic as he had made their exit from Egypt through the Red Sea. He caused a similar miracle to take place so that the people can pass through on dry ground. And I read commentaries which described how there have been landslips in the area as recently as the 1920s, which have caused the Jordan to dry out. And they argue that this is possibly how God caused the miracle to happen. I'm not worrying about that today. If you want to Google it and find out about landslips in the Jordan River and see how it may or may not have happened, however it happened on this occasion, what I think God was intending to show the Israelites, both that he was with them, just as he had been with them when they left Egypt, he was with them now as they entered the promised land, and also that he was all-powerful, just as he had shown his power when they left Egypt. He was now showing his power, both to them and to their enemies. He was saying, I'm the one. I'm powerful. You cannot mess with me. Because God knew that even although they were entering the promised land, their problems would not be over. And I think we need to hear this. The people would still encounter dangers in the days ahead as they rid Canaan of their enemies and as they settled there. God knew that the people would doubt him again. He knew that they'd experience failures and sorrows as well as victories, because this is life. We will always experience ups and downs, sorrows and joys, heartache and disappointment, but also many, many blessings. Following God does not give us a let-out clause. Following God does not mean life from now on in is going to be happy ever after in the lightweight happy ever after sense of the word. But following God is the only thing that will lead us to life. It won't be easy, but it's the path that leads to life rather than to destruction. But actually, as I said earlier, when we go through tough times, it's the way God helps us to grow and develop and learn as human beings. And if we choose to trust God for good when we're going through tough times, then our faith can grow, even in the worst of circumstances. God didn't promise the Israelites an easy journey, but he did promise he would always be with them. And the same is true with us. He doesn't promise us an easy journey, but he does say he'll do his utmost to bring us through. He'll always be with us. And while I was preparing the sermon, I remembered the 1987 ferry disaster in Zeebrugge when the Herald of Free Enterprise rolled over just outside the harbour. And the final death toll was 193, but it would have been much higher had it not been for some amazing acts of heroism. And there was a man that I remembered about who had made himself into a human bridge. And this guy was a guy called Andrew Parker, and he was 6'3". And he and 20 other passengers, including his family, were trapped when the ferry rolled over. And of course, if you imagine it, what had been the floor turned into walls and If you imagine the open spaces in a ferry, those were now the floor. And he and these passengers were trapped by this 6 foot wide cascade of water that was pouring the full length of the ferry, except that the ferry was now on its side, so it was an unbelievable drop that this water was pouring over. And he made himself into a bridge and stretched across to this other piece of metal where there was a rope. And this is what it's like. The gap was too big for people to jump across, Andrew Parker later told reporters. I just made a sort of bridge. His wife elaborated. I was the first one to climb across, and I stepped on his back, and I was petrified. When you climbed on top of him, you had to jump, and the floor was slippery with water. All the people in our corner got over Andrew's human bridge. Otherwise, we couldn't have crossed that space. Once across the gap, the 20 people reached a small metal island to which rescuers had thrown a rope. Parker stayed behind for about an hour and a half, helping people to safety. Well, that's what God does. He stretches himself across the gap so that we can cross over. It's what Jesus did when he died on the cross to bring us grace and freedom instead of sin and death. Because we cannot do it by ourselves. We cannot live this life by ourselves. We need God's power and we need God's presence to go before us. And above all, we need to remember that God is faithful and how much he loves us.